This episode of Inside Running Podcast is proudly brought to you by New Balance. The global athletic leader is excited to announce the newest addition to their fuel cell range, the Fuel Cell RC Elite. Developed using data collected from athletes, Fuel Cell offers the highest energy return of any New Balance performance foam today. Runners looking for premium technology and speed built smarter should jump into the New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite, which is available now at select running specialty stores and newbalance.com.au.
Pain. Now I hear you say you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin, I'll burn all your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking.
Welcome to episode number 150 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another week. This could be some people's 150th episode tonight. It could be celebrating with us to make it to the big 150. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How are you going?
Very well, thanks, Brady. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm going very well. Thanks, Brad. Last week of school for you and I think, before we roll into school holidays next week. So everyone's pretty chirpy.
Yeah, I've got two more weeks.
I always forget ACT is on a different schedule to the rest of Australia, I reckon.
Yeah.
And down in Anglesey, the 214 man, the representative we sent to the Doha World Championships, Julian Spence. How you going?
I'm good, mate.
That's good.
That time I watched that again, I reckon.
You'd have a few school holidays.
To remind myself I'm a runner.
You'd have a few work holidays coming up too, wouldn't you?
I haven't been on a holiday since then, I don't think, actually.
Wouldn't call Doha a holiday, would you?
No, but St. Moritz. That was 1 year ago. I was in St. Moritz right now, and I see Malcolm Hicks out there. I told him, stop posting those photos. It's just putting me on a dark hole, seeing how good that place is.
Yeah. But do you classify like a run and altitude camp as an actual holiday?
No, not really. No, I wouldn't. It's a nice place to go run, though.
Yeah. Yeah, or prep really for a marathon. Nice. And then 150, boys, so we must be coming up for 3 years since we started this in October. That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because remember, it was just after we got back from Berlin.
Yeah, yeah. That was nearly three years ago that I dropped Moose at the 32K mark, Brad, that day.
What happened at the end?
Doesn't matter.
32K mark? That's when I caught you, you dickhead.
Put him to the sword at 32 and then fell in a hole.
I even gave you some of my drink.
Good memories.
That's the old Brady. Doesn't do that anymore.
I was actually, starts following you on Instagram and then they like a video from 3 years ago, someone did that to me today and they went back, Moose, and liked a video of us two running side by side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, rain's coming down. I got to watch it again, reminisce. Felt good about myself running next to a 214 guy that late in the race.
Yeah, well, there weren't many people around at that stage. It's a bit lonely out there.
It was a bit lonely. You forget that about Berlin too, don't you? If you're not in a pack, sometimes it can be just bodies up the road and behind you. People blow to pieces.
Long, straight roads.
Yeah, it's a hard race mentally if that's the situation. Ask me, I'll tell you about it. Did it three times in a row. Who's recapping their week first? Moose, do you want to go?
Yeah, well, I didn't run, so mine will be easy.
Tell us some surfing stories again, though.
Surfing stories, yeah. So last Monday, I think I bought a surfboard maybe on the Sunday. So on the Monday, so I went in and bought this surfboard, and things change these days since when I bought my last surfboard, which was 10 years ago. They measure things differently. So now I used to sort of go length and then width and then thickness, and that'd be the measurements you'd use. And then you'd look at the shape of the tail and you'd kind of go, okay, well, that's sort of what I'm after. Now they use this, now they use volume. So they look at the literage of the board. And and that was sort of a new experience buying a surfboard off that. But anyway, bought the board, been loving it. I've been running, I've been surfing most days that I'm in Anglesey, surf the shit days, surf the good days. Today was a good day, actually. Good, better surf, and I'm starting to find my feet again, getting up on the board quicker, moving down the line quicker, and actually starting to sort of feel the weight changes. There's real significant consequence when you shift weight slightly on the board as to whether you catch a rail or you make a section or whether you stay on your board when you do a turn. So it's real intricate little weight changes, and I'm still definitely not back in any shape or form, but I'm starting to feel like I'm nearly comfortable in a lineup.
Has your weight changed since you haven't been running?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You put on kgs pretty quick.
I do. And I put them on in the upper body really quick, because if you surf, I've been surfing sometimes twice a day, and that's a lot of upper body exercise. You pull in water when you're paddling, so you get a decent back workout, arms, chest, and then on top of that, I do push-ups and chin-ups and all that at home. So I'm getting a bit of a pigeon body going. The legs are staying thin and upstairs is getting big.
Yeah, right. Have to take a selfie with your shirt off in the mirror or something. Send it through to everyone.
Coming. It's coming. Don't worry.
You'll be looking like Ryan Hall in a couple of weeks, you reckon?
Yeah. Maybe not Ryan Hall. Isn't he doing some marathon or something? Or some ultra marathon?
I think he did it. Done it. Yeah.
Oh, did he? Did he do it? Did he finish it?
Don't know. I just saw it on Let's Run. People talking about it. Don't know if he actually did it. Brad, do you know?
I think he did it. I saw some article about him him afterwards.
Yeah, right. What else you been doing with your life, Moose? A bit of pacemaking on the bike for Ali?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So on Friday, Friday was a workout day for her. So she ran a tempo run. You can sort of see, I made a video of it. Did you see the video?
I saw the start of it, and then I think I got in the car and watched it quickly, and then I was like, I've got to get the
my game. My Sid. Highlight Moose was about 70 seconds in going up that hill, and you just come up next to her and she just gives you the dirtiest look.
I didn't get to 70 seconds in. I mustn't have got that far.
She didn't look happy at that point.
She gets real grumpy when she gets in tempo runs.
Did you actually make the video?
Oh, yeah, I filmed it and made it. Spent a bit of time that Friday. Don't have a lot going on when I'm not running. But good music, though, didn't you?
Well, I was going to say that quality wasn't high. That's why I turned it off after about 35 seconds.
It's your internet, mate. It's your internet.
Was it real epic music or something in the background? Was it really dramatic? And I was like, what the hell is this?
I didn't have a lot of choice. I was going off.
And the little text was popping up and down at the bottom or something. Was that right?
Yeah,
you got me in a busy time.
When you watch a workout, right, what are the relevant things? If someone's doing a hilly tempo, you want to know how far that hill is.
Yeah, and pace.
And the pace. The pace came later. Showed the pace. But
I'll watch it while you're going through your week this week, just to repay you from last week.
You're going to need the music on to get full effect.
Okay.
That was good. That was a good workout. I was on the bike there. Yeah, so I didn't film the bits where she was not yelling, but just sternly telling me that this is a shit road to run on, and why are we on this road, and the rocks are too rocky, and yeah, that was about probably 30 seconds before she gave me that look. That's just high heart rate normally increases grumpiness levels, I think you'll find. But yeah, no, that was when I rode with her. Yeah, Friday.
That was good.
16K hilly tempo, average 3:45s. Climbing wise, it was 2:80 or something, I reckon. Mm. Pretty good, really.
And first run back for you today. Do you want to give us a bit of a? This will be next week's show, but just tell us how it went quickly.
It went all right. Not great, but not disaster. So 30 minutes. First 10 minutes was really good. Second 10 minutes started to feel something like that little niggle come back. And then the last 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, it's back. But I kind of expected it would be back. I've had awareness of it throughout the last 2 weeks of zero running. So, yeah, that's that's where I'm at. I'm just going to be running a few times a week for the next couple of weeks, keep doing the strength work, the rehab for it, and hopefully that pays off in like a month or so.
Mm, no rush or anything?
No rush, that's for sure. It's I want to get back to the group. It looks like Regional Victoria will get groups back.
Yeah, so, Wednesday, isn't it?
The
announcement Wednesday?
The announcements, I don't know. Did they say there was an announcement Wednesday?
I think so. I don't know if that's legitimate, though.
I thought I might have seen it was a Tuesday announcement. So maybe even tomorrow they'll announce. And then by the end of this week, hopefully we're back to 10 people. So that would be excellent.
Yeah, we'll be right then, won't we? Victoria, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, Metro's different, but regional good.
Hey, Moose, I've got a question for you. Like, you've done a pretty good job of keeping yourself busy and doing other things over the last couple of weeks when you haven't been running. The fact that you've been getting back into the surfing and sort of enjoying that, does it make you miss the running a little bit less and you realise that, oh, yeah, I could easily just turn and just continue surfing and not run as much?
It definitely helps with the, like, disappointment of not running, and it gives me something to like. I'm so obsessive that when I start doing something, like, everything is focused on that. So I go to bed at the moment and I think about surfing when I close my eyes. And normally that's running. Normally I close my eyes, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna think about what I'm running next, what workout, where I'm gonna do it, these kinds of things, the race coming up. And now it's like, oh, where's the surf going to be tomorrow? Like, what tide will it be? Like, what wind? Where's going to be? And so it just dominates me. It just sort of occupies me. So yeah, it's been really good to take the focus of. And it's an interesting one, the running thing. Like, running is like, it's definitely my passion. And I don't think I can run and surf at the same time with how tired I get from surfing. So surfing would have to go back to a second priority. I'm not sure during the big blocks of training. And like, I couldn't do it during the big blocks of training. It's just not possible.
But it's funny how your perspective changes, because like, similar thing when I've taken a break from running. Like, when you're in running and you're in the bubble, you think it's the most important thing in the world and the only thing in the world. And then you step outside it because you're either injured or you take a break and you do something else. And you start to realize, you know, it's not the be all and end all. And there's this whole other life out there.
But you don't
think about that when you're actually in the running and everything's going well.
Exactly. And the fact, what's helping right now is the lack of races going on. It would be a lot harder, I think, if like there was events happening and people were posting good times and that kind of thing. But at the moment, no events. It's actually quite an easy step away.
Depends where you work as well, though, Brad. Like, obviously Moose has that more because he works in the running industry. But if you work in a job where your colleagues and stuff don't talk to you about running, you get a bit of an escape for it now and then.
That's true. Which is good. It's actually quite like hard when you're injured to work in the running store, because you see everyone like frothing on running, and it's just nonstop talk about running and what event we're training for and the group and what long run you've got coming up this weekend and rah rah rah. But when you're injured, it's actually quite shit, like, really. I mean, it's good energy, it's nice and positive, it's great to see people running and everything, but it's hard to like share the enthusiasm when you physically can't go out and do that.
Yeah. Rightio, Croaks, you want to go into your week? 130K, you're back.
Not back, but before I get into my week, Ryan Hall did finish that 43-mile ultra, 12 mm-hmm. hours. Yeah, 12 hours and something. So
12 hours?
Yeah, but it was trails. It was at over 9,000 feet of elevation, so it's at 3,000 metres of elevation.
He'd weigh about 120 kilos now, wouldn't he? He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy. So yeah, 12. What did it say here? 12. Where is it? 12 hours and something.
What K pace is that?
Don't know. Okay. 12 hours and 47 minutes.
Tell us about your week, Brad.
Yeah. All right. So Monday, we drove back from the coast, and that afternoon got out for an hour at 4:19s. Tuesday morning, did 7.5K out at Mulligan's. It was pretty ordinary. Back wasn't great, but I went out for a session that afternoon because I'm like, well, afternoon's generally a bit better. Warmed up, back hamstring was pretty bad again. Changed shoes, and then session was completely fine. So it was the first time I'd used the Fuel Cell RC Racer. Yeah, so it was, yeah, morning run was pretty sore the whole time. Warm up, sore. Did some strides, didn't feel comfortable, but then as soon as I got into the session, had no pain whatsoever. So session was three sets of 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. So I had a minute break between the reps, and then after the 1 minute rep, gave myself 2 minutes. Just did it on this bike path where I'd run pretty much like a slight uphill on the 3 minute rep, and then like more of a downhill on the two, and the one sort of more flat. Went pretty well. Ran so like 3:15, 3:07 for, so 3:15 for the, well, yeah, 3:15 for the 3 minute rep, 3:07 for the two, 2:55 for the one, and then the second set 3:11, 3:02, 2:52, and then the last set 3:07, 2:57, 2:49. So yeah, I was reasonably happy with that.
Half marathon pace, 10K pace, 5K pace, around that ballpark.
No, I'd say more like 10K, 10K, 5K, and probably 3K. When I do this session, I tend to run the 1 minute pretty quick because I have 2 minutes recovery before I get back into it. But, yeah, where my fitness is at the moment, I'd say the threes were more like probably 10K, and, yeah, the 2 minutes, like 5K effort. So, and then, yeah, changed shoes, and back was sore again. So it's obviously the slower running is obviously not as good for it. So then Wednesday, worked during the day. Got out in the afternoon for 10K at 4:30s. Then Thursday morning did 14.5K. Oh, no, sorry, went out in the afternoon on Thursday. Yeah, so 4:13s in the afternoon. So didn't feel too bad because it was an afternoon run. Friday morning, 7.5K. Out at Mulligan's, 4:32s, felt pretty rubbish, to be honest. And then on Friday afternoon, I ran from home down to Yerribee Pond and used the Fuel Cell RC Racers again. So, yeah, did the warm-up, the session, and the cool-down in them just because I wasn't going to take a pair of shoes to change into. Ran 3:21s for an 8K tempo around Yerribee, and yes, that was felt, it's funny, I was saying to Trav on Sunday when I was running, when you're fit, like, I love tempos and I feel like they're one of the easier sessions to get through, but then when you're not going as well, I find the tempos are a lot more of a grind, especially at the back end, like the bear sort of jumps onto your back a lot quicker, which obviously is just a sign of strength, but when you're fit, like a tempo feels pretty cruisy.
Brad, why did you decide 3:20 pace or around about that?
I basically didn't set any time on it. I just went, you know what, I'm going to run anywhere between. I did 20 minute tempo the week before down the coast on hilly trails, and I averaged 3:20s for the 6K. And it had more elevation than what Yerribee Pond does. So I thought to myself, well, I should be able to run 3:20s around there on the bike path. So yeah, that's probably why I thought of that. And then as most of my sessions, the longer the session goes, the better the body feels and the quicker you look at that 3:21 session I did on Tuesday. Like every rep came down by about 5 seconds a K for pretty much similar effort. And so, yeah, like I had a 3:25K for my third on the tempo, and then my last couple were sort of 3:16, 3:15. And then I'll try and progress this every week. So I'll try and go a little bit further and build it up to sort of a 10K. So that was Friday. Saturday, I just got out for 12K at sort of around 4:16s. Around Saturday lunchtime, and then Sunday ran with Trav. So I actually haven't seen Trav for ages. So that was good fun. First 6-7K was pretty rough. He was, I was sort of holding him up because I was just pretty stiff and didn't feel very good. And then got to about, eight K in, nine K in, and then started to feel really good for probably like 40, 50 minutes. And then, the last 20 minutes, sort of back and hamstring started to just tighten up a little bit, but got through 28 and a half K, 406s, which, felt pretty comfortable once I was sort of warmed up at that pace for 130K for the week. So, got, two decent sessions and a long run. It's definitely my longest run in, it'd be my longest run in like 12, 13, 14 weeks, something like that. So,
And because of that, you didn't think just to back it off a tiny bit? Like, why not just go, let's just average 415 to 420 today? Haven't run this far in a while.
I didn't progress. We didn't really progress the pace that much. Like, once we got to, I said to Trav, because I got to like an hour in or, 80 minutes in, I'm like, oh, we can sort of just cruise now. But, just long, like, you sort of just, like, the longer the long run goes for me, the more the pace just gets faster. So, but finished it, like as I said, I had a really good 40, 50 minutes in the middle. And look, I don't think pace is not the issue here, because you look at my week, my morning run on Tuesday, my warm up on Tuesday, my cool down on Tuesday, I was in more pain than I was when I was running 3 minute Ks. So I don't think it's the pace is the issue. It's just, body's just old and shit most of the time, but I'm getting through the training. My body's not getting any worse. And, I'll either turn the corner or I'll break down. And if I break down, that'll probably be it.
No,
Do you think this is a good chance to put a heart rate on?
Maybe, but it's been so long since I've had any of the testing. I don't even know. I'd be making up numbers.
Yeah, but you go for a run, 12K, you go, okay, I'm going to make this real conversational pace, super easy. You look at your heart rate, you kind of know like the stress that you just placed compared to the heart rate, and you go, okay, well, that's kind of what I need to look at, keeping things easy versus what you're doing at the moment.
But it's interesting, like the first, on Sunday, the first six, seven K, like I almost feel like my heart rate would have been higher at those slower paces, just because of how stiff and shit I was. And then because I remember getting to like 10K and saying to Trav, oh, I'm actually feeling pretty good now. I said, compare this to how I was like 3K in, where I was just like feeling absolute rubbish. I don't know. I don't feel like I need to use heart rate. So.
The better you cover the ground, the lower the heart rate is, you reckon?
Oh, there's definitely an efficiency. There's an efficiency to it. Like, and I'm still not covering the ground great in really anything I do. I said I definitely had a good 40 minutes, and you can sort of see on my run, like I got to sort of 10K, and like it sort of went from 4:12s to like 4 minute Ks, and I was actually chatting along with Trav, and it was like the watch would beep, and I'm like, shit, that was 3:57. I actually feel pretty good. So there's definitely a biomechanical and an efficiency type sort of issue going on. But anyway, I just keep turning up. Just put it this way, like I know I say this shit all the time, but it's like running's a real chore at the moment. Like when you get out in the morning and you go for a run with the idea of trying to just loosen up the body for the afternoon session, and your back feels shit, and then you warm up and your back feels shit, but then you do a session and you don't have any pain, and then you cool down and it's shit. You're just like, what do you, obviously it's not a serious injury, because if it was a serious injury, I wouldn't be able to do that session with no pain. How do you explain it? But when you consider how much of your running a week's easy running and it's uncomfortable, it doesn't make running much fun. Here's question back to you boys. How do you explain that I can do a session completely pain-free, but everything else is really sore and uncomfortable? And what do you do then?
Treatment.
Well, I do. I do get treatment.
Booking like once a week for like 3 weeks and see if it sorts it.
So up until 3 weeks ago, I was getting treatment every single week.
Yeah. So I would have a plan with a practitioner. Like, find someone that you trust, have faith in. Go, let's work out what's going on with my back. Diagnosis, maybe a scan. Find the inflamed area. Let's work on reducing the, like. I mean, I'm not a practitioner, but that's sort of what I would like. I like to have plans around things, so it feels like I wake up like this. I can make progress on my injury, not kind of go, oh, it's good today. I wonder what it is. I'd like to go, I know what it is. This is what I need to do to make it get better. So I'm going to do those things.
The problem with the scan though, Moose, is I had this similar thing at the end of 2018. So after I hurt my calf, had those few weeks off and my back and everything locked up on me, I then struggled for the rest of that year and my back and hamstring. I had the exact same stuff that was going on now. And I went to the sports doctor and I actually did get an MRI on my back, pelvis, hamstring, everything like that, and it pretty much came back clear.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's the same symptoms and the fact that I can run 3 minute kilometers with no pain whatsoever indicates that it's unlikely that anything would show up on a scan.
So if it's mechanical, right? If there's something mechanical going on, then is that what you feel? What causes the issue?
Well, I'm guessing so. I'm guessing it's more biomechanical.
Does it hurt when you pick up your kids and stuff, Brad, or you give them a bath or like change tables, things like that?
No, back gets tight when I pick, like if I'm carrying them for a while, my back definitely tightens up. I do get sort of pains, like if I've gone for a run and I jump in the car and drive home, when I get out of the car, that sort of right in the SIJ sort of joint grabs for a little bit. But like I don't have that much pain when I'm not running, and as soon as I stop running, my back pain goes away, which to me indicates it is more of a biomechanical and posture type thing.
Still wearing those like 1,000 kilometer shoes.
Cut holes in the back of it.
No. I mean,
Dad's got the best shoes from the factory. He gets new ones all the time.
Yeah. He goes down the second-hand shop, buys his shoes there. Already got 400 on him.
So anyway, look, the good thing about it is I've been here before, and earlier this year I did come through it and had, you know, probably 8-10 weeks of really good training, and then it was my hip got sore and I got sick, and so then I took some time off and then it sort of all come back. But look, if I get through 130K a week, I'm not going to be losing any, like the fitness is there. It's just sorting out the biomechanical stuff and just making running fun again to get rid of this sort of back pain.
Yeah. Mm. You don't want to be hearing that it's a chore. That can't be a good spot to be in.
Mm. It's a chore, but you're still around 130 Ks, and it sounds like you're still enjoying it.
Does it? Is that what you got from the last 10 minutes that I'm enjoying it?
No, you ran 28 Ks with a mate and you ran them fucking fast. You're not enjoying them, you're not running fast.
I said to him on the run, I said this, like, because he, we're in this group chat and McGowan actually said, oh, you boys running together tomorrow. And on Saturday, I'm just like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be the worst company on a long run. And I was thinking that to myself, and then, you know, 20 minutes in, I'm like, yep, this is exactly the way I thought it was going to be. Like, just felt like turned around going home. And then we got to 10K and we're just chatting away. And I'm like, fuck, this actually feels good again. So, you know, and yesterday having that 40 to 50 minutes where I did feel like I was actually moving okay, didn't have pain and was running at a decent clip while still having a conversation, that gives me confidence.
Mm. Yeah, well... like you said, just keep showing up.
Yep.
Keep stringing them together. Quickly go through my week, boys. I'm going to have a quick show tonight. Monday, 8.5K, 4:33s in the morning. Afternoon, 14K at 4:20 pace. Tuesday, 13K in the morning at 4:27 pace before work, and then 8K at 4:29 pace in the afternoon. Wednesday, 8K in the morning, 4:22s. Afternoon run in my first session of the week. I did 5x5 minutes at threshold pace, so around about like 3:06, 3:07, with 2 minutes jog between. This was kind of just a Moose's backer up my program this coming week, so I kind of just made up a few sessions that I've liked doing off his program in the past, and this was one that I enjoy. 5 minutes at threshold's pretty easy, and this was kind of a bit of a return to training this week. Had the heart rate monitor on, kind of hovering around 165-ish after the first one, when it took a while to get up there. So yeah, that was all good. Finished that. Yeah, I think 5 minutes at threshold's a good workout because it's not too long. And 2 minutes recovery is pretty generous off the back of that. Actually, I did have a stack Monday. I should have told you about that. I didn't get chased by a dog. You guys know when you're running and there's people in front of you with a dog off the leash. And you're trying, I'm not sure if you guys have ever done it, but like you try to make your footsteps as loud as possible so they can hear you coming, and they put their dog on the leash, or like you start coughing or like running on the side of the track in the leaves so it makes a bit more noise. You guys ever done that?
Yeah, you need. I just sort of yell. I just use trail back. Just get vocal.
Trail back, you yell.
Trail back.
What happens if you're on like a big dirt? Like I was on a road that's dirt. Like those videos you've been putting up. Like a.
Oh well, fuck! Get to the other side of the road.
Dirt road back. Did you yell that out?
You don't need to. If you've got like a bloody 15-foot road that you're running on, you'll be all right.
Nah, there was like 4 people walking and like 3 dogs off the leash. Anyway, one of them, and the dogs always spot you before the people do. So the dog see you coming and you're like, and anyway, the dog tried to chase me and then I tripped over my own feet and grazed my knee and stuff. So I was a bit banged up on the knee, which is annoying. Like I just wish people would, you know, I'm happy if your dogs are off the leash as long as they're well behaved, but if they're going to chase people, that's kind of frustrating. Thursday, 5:45 in the morning got out for, but it was beautiful. Sun's up early at the moment. It's a nice time to run at that hour. Just running through the vineyards and all the canola kind of paddocks up here, which are full of yellow crops, which is pretty cool. That was 4:25 pace for 13 a bit K. Got out for 8K in the afternoon Thursday, 4:22s. Friday morning, pretty early again, 6:15, just got out for 7K. And then in the afternoon, I did some Tin Man efforts, some critical velocity 3-minute kind of at 10K kind of feel. So I was kind of hovering around 3:01, 3:02 off 2 minutes jog for 7 of those. So all up, that was 9.85K at 3:21 pace. Pretty even. It was a nice night. The weather's getting a bit warmer. So actually a bit humid. Like Singlet was full of sweat at the end of that one. Once again, though, pretty easy kind of workout. And then Saturday, I actually did my long run. We had some people coming around Saturday Arvo for a few beers, and I wasn't sure how large the afternoon was going to be. So I thought I'll knock the long run over, and then I can just relax a bit, let the hair down Saturday afternoon without a 2-hour long run hanging over my head on Sunday. So got out at 10:30. I was a bit late out the door. Carly went for her long run a bit earlier on, and then yeah, tag team, swapped the baby over, and then, yeah, did 2 hours at 4:16s. Nice and sandy, long. Not sure if you got my map open there, boys. You got that open, Brad?
I do.
Some very straight lines there on that long run. I think one straight was about, I don't know, 10 or 12K or something like that. But anyway, that was good fun. Just built a Spotify playlist and just listened to that for 2 hours. Woke up Sunday morning a bit seedy, but all good. Got 10K out at 4:30s, and then 7K in the afternoon for 160.5K for the week.
Elevation going a bit wild on that. Damn.
On what?
Every week.
That's his pace.
Oh, no, that's actually good. 84 metres. Normally it says like 300.
Have a look at the pace.
What pace? Which one are you talking about?
On your map.
On the long run map?
Yeah. You can't hold a single pace at all.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Look at the way it jumps around like that.
Oh, but is that, if you turn off the... Yeah, that's really odd there, because when you look at my pace, you look at my Ks, they're pretty even.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, look at how many are 4:17. That's crazy how many are... Yeah, might be a good song or something, Moose.
Don't know what's going on. What was on the playlist, the highlight?
Oh, I listen to, have you heard of the Australian rapper Earth Boy?
Yeah, I've heard of Earth Boy.
I wasn't sure if you'd heard of him or not. He has like a Spotify like live set on Spotify, obviously. So I had a bit of his stuff on. That was pretty good. I like listening to like live versions of songs. That kind of pumps me up a bit. You feel like you're there. That was good. A bit of Rufus Du Sol. Trying to think. Their live set at... Joshua Tree, that was good. Yeah, That was about it. Oh, a real classic come on towards the end. 28 Days, Rip It Up. Can you remember that song?
Oh, that is a classic song.
That is fucking a classic hell. Song. That come on at like an hour 57 or something.
I love that song. Yeah,
I was tempted to kick it home, but I didn't. Then I'm gonna
downloaded that the other day and played it to Bree, and I said, this is going on my playlist. This is going on the Pump Up playlist.
That's random, because I wouldn't have listened to that song for like 10 years, I reckon. Yeah, back in the skateboarding days. I'm into some...
And Rage Against the Machine.
Gorilla Radio?
Nah. Rage Against the Machine. Oh, geez, what's that song?
Killing in the Name of.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah. Those two songs.
We played that on the way to the coast last weekend. Viv had, like, shows of Viv's age. She had no idea who Rage Against the Machine was.
I'm surprised you knew who they were, Brad.
Oh, hey, they were in my glory days.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some good run and pump up music. I'm into a bit of speed work this week, Brad. I reckon Moose is priming me for your 1500 meter PB next.
Should be hard.
Got 12 200s tomorrow night. Gonna
you
kill
just
me.
Just got to hold on to the young Archie.
Mm. Yeah. Nah, it's good for me because I'm not real good at this speed stuff. And like, I was like, nah, I don't want to do this. But then I'm like, no, you got to work on your weaknesses. Let's do this for a while. It's a good time to do it.
Off a minute.
I actually didn't look at the recovery. Doing 12 of them in 28. I don't think I could run one in 28. But anyway, that's going to maybe full tilt, Moose.
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole purpose of it, mate. It's 200 metres.
200 metre sprints.
Close to, right?
You'd be getting more than a minute then if you're flat to the boards.
200 is as long as required. That you can be walking it if you want. I think I wrote jog, but like, or did I write recovery?
I'm opening up now. What shoes? I was thinking today, what shoes should I do them in?
Oh, I reckon I'd roll the New Balance Fuel Cell Racer RCs for this one.
Oh, mine haven't arrived yet, but I would have. But I was thinking about going the Fuel Cell Rebels.
Rebels good.
I don't
Rebels
think I need a carbon good. Plated shoe. I need something lightweight that I can just smash the ground on and bounce up.
You know what? When is it? Tomorrow.
20. 60 seconds rest. Well, you reckon wait for the shoes?
No, I'm just going to say I'm getting dragonflies in this week as well.
Yeah, but I don't have a track. We're doing these on the road. Yeah.
There's not a lot of like fast. You know, New Balance do a shoe called the 5280. There's not many of those left in the country. That would have been a good one.
Oh, that was the one that they used for the road mile.
Didn't they
Fifth did. Street,
it's designed for that. Ali wore it on the track at Doha for 10K. And the New Balance guy was like, couldn't believe it. I remember she said, oh, I wore the 5280. He's like, you did what?
For a 10K. That's a shoe. I do need something like that, though. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
The Streak 7, we should be receiving again from Nike this coming season. I reckon we'll still get Streak 7. So that's a shoe that you can put on for those.
Do you reckon people have forgotten, like, that they still need this shoe, like this super fast shoe?
Even the brands just aren't even getting them in the country anymore. Like, you look at their range and you think, you're looking at it going, okay, your racing flat is now a 35 mil stack height, super soft carbon plated shoe. Like, that's okay, but offer the other shoe next to it. Offer the fast $150 to $200 traditional racing flat EVA, you know, like, we talked about it on Shoe Geeks as a real, because of the new, track and field rules where you're limited to shoes that are under 25 millimeters on the track for distance events, there's an opening for that type of shoe in the market again. ASICS have one called the Hyperspeed. They're bringing that back in Q1. That looks pretty good, actually. That sits, I think, about 16 mil. So that'll be good. The Dragonfly from Nike has spikes on it. Obviously no good for you. If you want a more versatile shoe, then you've got like traditional race, but the traditional race flat's disappearing quickly.
I'm hoping to be back on the track soon. Once this, if regional Vic opens back up, we might be able to cross back into Echuca, which means then we can go to Bendigo and Shepparton. But we're still a bit, on this border, things are still a bit sketchy. But anyway, keep your post on that. Let's say some Patreon supporters, eh? Croaks, you want to kick us off?
Yep. So tonight I'm giving a shout to Steve Robertson. He's from Engadine in Sydney, so down in the Shire. He's run 22.11 for the 5K, 46.45 for the 10, and an hour 46 for the half, which he did at the Ice Stadium Run Half Marathon. He's also run 4:05 at Sydney Marathon in 2014, and is a member of the FAM Running Club. That's capital F, capital A, capital M Running Club. So thanks for your support, Steve.
Any guesses what that means, Brad?
No.
No.
Do you know?
No, I don't know. No, I was just going to take guesses. Moose, you got a guess?
I'll do a bit of research while you thank your other...
Where's he
other
from? Patrons. Sydney?
Yeah.
FAM. Female and male running club.
And male.
But, covers bases.
Covers all the bases. Moose, who are you thinking? You got this is a bit of a mystery one. This guy, I'm hoping you found something on him.
Well, tell me first what you found on him.
Jonathan Dillon is his name. Found him on Facebook, I think, and we had a lot of mutual friends of people who are members of the Glen Huntly Running Club. So like Trevor Vincent, a couple of old people in Bendigo that run for Glen Huntly. Can't think of anyone else off the top of my head, but there was like five or six people and they were all Glen Huntly members. And then I typed him in and a lot of stuff from like back in 2010, 2012, and I found like a 30:37 at the Melbourne Marathon 10K, where I think...
The short year.
Where he came fourth, like overall.
What year?
Well, yeah, you're stretching me. I can look up my history. But does any of that ring a bell with you? And there was a bit Dylan, of a...
The surname Dylan in Geelong is a popular one. I've never heard of him. I asked Brett Coleman, right, who's been involved in Geelong athletics since the early 2000s. No, hasn't heard of Jonathan Dillon.
Well, there could be more than one Jonathan Dillon as well, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, if you're going to run 30:37 in Geelong, coming from Geelong, Brett Coleman's going to know you.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. But maybe he's moved there or something.
I saw that he ran in the under-20s in the Geelong Half Marathon 2008,
yep.
An hour 31.
He follows Brett could Robertson. Have been jogging. And Jack Rayner. I found a bit of that stuff too, a couple like 4-hour marathons, 3-hour 30s, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
Get an answer on this. Someone's going to know him.
John, hopefully John himself writes in and just says, boy, you've just murdered.
Oh, what-o. He ran with Trevor Vincent's squad at Monash when I was there. I think he runs for Glen Huntly. I don't really know him at all.
Oh, this would be it. Did Watto just write that?
Yeah, because I chased up with Watto about it too.
If there's any listeners wondering how extensive the research is here, this is what happens. We ask Watto if we don't know. We ask Brett Coleman if we don't know. Yeah, that would make sense because Trevor Vincent was in charge of that Monash group.
Yeah, right. Well, that's it then.
Tali Bird, that's who he would have known as well, mutual friend. She used to go to Monash and that's how she got started at Glen Huntly.
Next question. Next question to Watto. You reckon that he's run 30:37?
This could be an outlier.
Here we go. I like this live podcasting.
That would smash Watto's PB too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Chances are Watto would say no chance.
Yeah. I'm going to thank Nick Stone while we're waiting for Watto to reply. 17:52 for 5K for Nick. I think hard again for Nick. They really stretched me this week. I sat down Sunday trying to do a bit of research on these three and they kind of got me a bit sorted out. Maybe his local park run is Ponds Park Run and he maybe also did City of the Surf back in 2009. I think people are getting a bit protective of their like residential addresses and stuff. Like people just aren't leaving those on Patreon anymore, which is probably not a bad thing. So it makes it hard to narrow down on some of these guys. But anyway, Nick, Jonathan, Steve, thank you for your support
on
the Inside Running podcast and finding some value to support us financially. Keep us alive, getting us to 150.
What I reckon, hell no.
Sorry,
hell
Jonathan.
Hell no, he didn't run 30:37.
Not a bad time,
unless
though.
He got very good after I left. So there is a possibility still.
Thanks, guys, for your support. Alrighty, running news. Let's go with Jessica Hull off the top, eh? You want to do that? I did have it second down there because I was waiting for this result to come in overnight when I made these notes. She broke the Australian record overnight. She ran 4:00.42. She broke the Australian record by 0.44 seconds. She goes to number 6 on the world list for 2020. It was a PB by 1:00.38. She's the first Australian, actually, this was interesting, in 23 years to hold the 1500 and the 5000 metre Australian records. Oceana record as well. Pretty amazing stuff. I just got all those facts from David Tarbottom, who does a great job on social media, if you don't follow him, with all the stats and facts coming out. I think we probably expected this, boys. Jessica Hull, she was third in the race. Just got nipped by, is it Waitman? Laura Waitman from the UK.
Yeah. Did you watch the race?
Yeah, I did. Yep. Yeah. She was right on her. And it's just, like, hats off to Waitman, because she just didn't fade, did she? Like, she just kept fighting.
Wasn't it the perfect race for Jess, though? Like, how it was paced, and Waitman just sat in front of her. Like, obviously, Jess couldn't go any faster to get around her, but she had a body there, and a big body, like a tall body, right there breaking the wind for her. And she just didn't even have to do any thinking whatsoever. Like, her thinking seemed to be, oh, if she looked like she wanted to go around but can't go around, and she just held on. And just what a perfect ride for an Australian record.
Which is the perfect way, isn't it? Like, yeah, you want to go, and it looked like she was going to go, but she just couldn't get past, which just kept her honest up until the line. Like, there's a cool photo of them both kind of just dipping on the line. Laura Muir was a couple of seconds in front of him, maybe 2 or 3 seconds. She was pretty dominant in that race, but
smashed it.
It was a big field, like 15 or 16 people, I think it was, and she was third. So, you know, took down her trainer partner, Robry. She's balling with the best in the world.
Kind of called this one, didn't we? Like, it wasn't, I mean, it's not a big, brave call to say, oh, we think she'll break the Australian record, but we kind of knew it was going to happen in Europe, and this year, the way that she was progressing and has the season sort of developing, taking down the 5K, but knowing she's a faster athlete. Yeah.
Well, she didn't remember she didn't we had to improve dramatically, did she? Like, she only took half a second off to get it.
Yeah. One of the listener questions a few weeks back was, you know, what's the next Aussie record to go? And I think, Brady, you said next time, or the next 5K she runs, because she'll run faster. And, I think we spoke, she'd get 15. And, I wouldn't be surprised then on the men's side if some Aussie records go down in the middle distance events as well.
Genevieve Gregson was also there, boys, in the steeple. She was 8th overall in 9:44. I think that was her first steeple in a long time. And I don't know, like, I've never done steeples. Does it take them a couple to kind of get in sync? Surely you don't just come out in the first one and nail it, do you?
Don't know. I've only ever done one, and it was hung over at uni games. Never again.
Did you win it, though?
No. Oh, it was miserable. I ran like 10 and a half minutes or something. It was it wasn't much fun. It was the same uni games where I swallowed a 20-cent piece.
Oh yeah, the glory days. Love bringing up that story.
That's the highlight of his life.
that meet looked good over there. Obviously not a diamond league, but always has good competitors there in deep fields and fast times. Pretty good over there in Berlin.
Jess was the first Aussie woman in 23 years to hold the 1500 5K records at the same time.
Yeah, I said that.
Who was the lady before her?
Oh, sorry.
That was my question.
15 and 5, 23 years. Brad, you would have been alive.
This was your prime back then, Brad.
Croak should get this. 23. What are we talking?
Doesn't mean that she got it 23 years ago. It means that one of them was broken 23 years ago.
You're talking someone like mid-early 90s, Brad.
No, that's just when the record...
that's what I mean, though.
Had to hold both.
Who was good? I wasn't even alive. I was just born around that time.
Yeah. That was a bit before my time as well.
Who was it, Moose?
I don't know.
You can't just do trivia questions.
Well, no, I'm just reading it now. I'm like, I wonder who was the one beforehand. So whoever's...
I know, like, Marg Crowley, she held the women's 1500 record. So she's held it in the last, I'm guessing, around then. Who else? I don't know if Kate Anderson held a 5K record. We'll do some research. We'll find out by the end of the show.
Research in the background.
you do the research, Moose, because Brad's telling me about this. Oh, no, you're telling me, Brad. You do the research because, Moose, you're telling me about this half marathon over in Northern Ireland.
Well, yeah, it was pretty fast, this marathon. It was called the Antrim Coast Half Marathon. And obviously not a lot of races going down at the moment, so there were some athletes head over here. Looked like a lot of the London marathoners headed here. But get in a race because they're racing in three and a half weeks from now. So this was a good time for them. Half marathon, Mo Farah stretched clear in the final stages to claim victory. Time of 1 hour 31, 12 seconds ahead of Brett Mark Scott. Ben Connor, further 16 seconds back, was third. Belfast runner Steve Scullion, who spent time in Australia, actually stayed in Ballarat and down the Surf Coast for a while. He thrilled the home fans with a superb race in fourth, posting a new Northern Ireland record of 61.12. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, you were surprised with that. I remember getting a message off you. Was that Saturday Arvo, Sunday Arvo?
Yeah, well, fuck. I beat that bloke in Doha. He was terrible. Now he's running 61.12. What's going on?
He ran like 2.11 or something there too, didn't he? Or 2.12?
He also ran pretty fast after that. But, hey, let's just, it's, yeah.
You still got
to just remember that one race that I beat. That's the only one we need to talk about. There was also world best, with veteran Tommy Hughes beating the over 60s record by 4 seconds. He ran 71.09.
Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about this guy? Because he ran like a ridiculous, maybe 10K, or maybe it was a half as well. Remember, I think it was actually on that bonus show you and I did, Moose, with those listener questions.
Really?
Nah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this. I told you about this guy. Maybe.
Anyway.
You should see a picture of him too. Have you looked him up?
I saw a photo, yeah.
This guy's a mad mongrel, yeah. For 71, he looks like he could fight too, I reckon.
Few years, Croaks will be eyeing that off, I reckon. Over 60s. In the ladies' race, Lily Partridge claimed the win with an impressive time of 71.36 outside her PB of 70.31. Well, that's not that impressive then. That's like not. Did you write this, Brady?
I copied and pasted it from a newspaper article over there.
That's like 96 seconds outside her PB. She got London coming up. Partridge was followed home by Sam Harrison and Clara Evans. So, yeah, good to see some racing again. We got something to talk about on this podcast.
Got something to talk about. Yeah. They must have a bit of budget to have that kind of field coming over, though.
I reckon people prize money. Desperate for racing now.
You reckon?
So it doesn't even matter if they get paid, they don't get paid, whatever. People got to race.
Ben Connor, good day. I don't know if it's his half marathon debut, but it's definitely his London marathon debut coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so solid for him.
That'll be interesting. He's pretty. He ran that great 5K.
Yeah. Are you talking about him or Mark Scott?
Mark Scott.
Okay, I was talking about Ben Connor.
Okay.
Well, Mark Scott's not running London, is he?
Oh, probably not, no.
So not the same thing. Brad, you got an answer to our trivia question for the week?
No, I'm still working on it. It might be Kate Anderson.
You just come back. We've already had this discussion.
Okay.
You come back with the answer.
Did you check Golden Spike, Strava meet Moose? Did you see this you were talking about? Maybe we could have seen an Australian record in the 1500 last week, I reckon. Stewie Ramsden Gregson, but it was out slow.
Was it? Yeah, I didn't watch it, actually.
I watched it. Ingebrigtsen just did enough to win, too. I do think, and I was talking to Brett and Nick and Joel about this, I reckon he's just keeping a bit of an eye on Stewie, though, Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Just was looking around a lot the last 200 metres, just making sure he had Stewie covered. Stewie was third in 3:34.25. Ramsden was sixth in 3:35.23, which is a PB for him. We're talking about what his PB was last week. And Gregson was in seventh, 3:35.74. There was also an insanely fast 5K there where Borrega, he got beaten actually. Borrega went out super fast. I think he went out quicker than world record pace. And this young fella, Jacob Kipolimo, who came second at World Cross Country in his first year in Open, and he obviously got beaten by Cheptegei. He just let him go and then pulled him back. It's a really fascinating race if you want to watch it. And then, yeah, got away from him in the last 100 metres, 12:48 to 12:49. So if anyone's chilling out with a bit of spare time on their hands, definitely recommend watching those couple of races. Jen Gregson was there in the 5K as well. She came ninth in 15:24. So pretty good Australian representation. Boys are up next in, I do have this at the bottom of our notes now. Scroll down and tell you this now, because the 15th of September, Stewie Ramsden and Gregson are doing a 1500 in Zagreb. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yep, Zagreb.
Yep. Got that right, Brady. Well done. And then on the 17th, Rome Diamond League, Stewie Ramsden and Gregson are all in the 3K. So they've got a big 2 days coming up from the 15th to the 17th.
Don't those middle distance races change a lot? Like, I know that there was an article brought out just before this about, you know, Stewie, Ramsden and Gregson all going for the Aussie record in a Strava, thinking it would be super quick. And then it was, you know, slower than some of their other recent sort of, you know, like, because Ingebrigtsen, you know, he's run sub 3:30. And so he's not in any worse shape, but depending on how the race is run and the pacemaker is, you know, there's 3 to 4 seconds depending on the race.
I got asked by a mate, you guys might know this, even just a ballpark, because I'd have no idea. Mate asked me how much would he get in prize money for winning a meet like that, Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Any, like, just a ballpark figure? Like, is that a 10 grand win or a 1 grand win or like a...
I'd say it'd be closer to 10 than 1.
10? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or about 10 to 5?
I'd say more like 5. That's, yeah. I think there'd be, I'd say more like 5, but appearance fees could be around the same.
And like bonuses and stuff from Nike and stuff like that
for him? Yeah. Yeah, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But again, that's something like, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
I think when you're looking at like marathons and stuff, like, we know more about that. So, like when, because they're more advertised, I guess. So, if you compare like a marathon, like what's London something like again? Normally, it's something like what 100,000 for a win.
Yeah, and I think Boston's maybe a bit more than that, like 150 or 200 or something like that.
Yeah,
so Dubai's usually heaps.
Dubai, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you're right, though. They're advertised, and then they kind of almost boast about it, don't they? Like, we're the richest, or we do this, or we do that.
Yeah, it's very rare to see that with
track.
Yeah.
Brad, tell us about a bit of an announcement out of Athletics Australia, cancelling some national championships.
Yeah, so this was released a couple of days ago, that they've confirmed that 8 national championship events that were due to be held in 2020 have been cancelled due to COVID-19 restrictions. Derek Gocha, CEO of Athletics Australia, he said it's been determined to cancel these national championship events in the best interests of the health and well-being of our athletics community. We've also strongly considered the logistical and movement restrictions in place with particular regard to state and territory border closures, which makes these national championship events inaccessible to all. So, you know, the marathon, the cross country, the half marathon and the road running championships are some of those that have been cancelled. So, which is disappointing, but not unexpected.
I don't think you have an option, do you, with the borders closed, like the state borders?
No, and you can't call it a national championship if you, you know, you're going to restrict who can actually turn up.
But, okay, that's... But is there an opportunity for Athletics Australia? I'm not saying it's going to be easy or anything, but is there an opportunity for someone like Athletics Australia to go, okay, we're going to hold national cross country, right? Or even further, Zatopek. So there's a strong qualifying time. It's a strict qualifying time to get in. You might get 15 men, 15 women. We're gonna host the race somewhere like, let's say, Melbourne, right? And then there's gonna be a bubble type atmosphere where we can host it, like just like London Marathon's doing. They're getting people from over the world come, right? And they're gonna have them in a sort of enclosed type bubble situation where they're sort of monitored and everything. Should we be investigating this type of setup for these races if we really want them to go ahead?
Yeah, for sure. Especially something like Zatopek. Like, I think if Zatopek got cancelled, that would be a real shame. Like, I think this stuff is doable, but there's got to be a bit of effort that needs to put in to make it work.
Oh, lots of effort.
And they need to pursue that effort, especially for the athletes, like the superstars who kind of, are at these races, and they're prestigious events as well. Even the states that, like, so the national championships might not be on, but there's probably no reason if the borders open up between New South Wales, South Australia and Queensland that you still can't have some pretty decent road races in those three states if the borders open up. Like, I'd like to see them kind of say, well, it's not going to be a national championship, but this is what we're proposing, or this is what we're going to organise, or what's going to happen. And the state like the states have really got to step up as well to kind of fill that. Like you look at someone like Tassie, you know, back to normal almost. You know, you'd like to think Athletics Tassie are going to say, well, our athletes can't leave the state, but what can we do for them now to provide good racing opportunities?
Yeah, and look, regional Victoria is opening back up. Why can't sort of like AV start to implement or like discuss, maybe come up with creative ways where regional Victoria can get going again?
Oh, let's have a regional series, Moose. Bendigo, Ballarat,
we're allowed to
Shep,
travel.
Geelong. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's no reason why you couldn't have a four-week, you know, a four-race series over 8 weeks. Every second week, put a race on.
There's a potential that we're going to be at 10 people to exercise by, like, midweek.
Yep.
So things are going. Like, the 14-day average is, like, four cases a day for regional Victoria.
I still like some road races on some looped courses too. Like, imagine closing off your little Vic Park there in Ballarat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they
2K even, loop, let's just get 10 guys there and just go head-to-head over 10K or something.
Big credit to the region, like the local clubs in Ballarat with what they're doing. They've been getting good racing, a lot of virtual events going on. And when I say virtual events, like, it's still counting towards their season points and everything. They've done really well.
My Harriers Club in Bendigo, I didn't get involved, but I just saw them having like a Zoom presentation and going through all the point scoring and stuff like that the other day as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Innovative. Any other comments there, Brad?
No, think you nailed it.
Sydney and Canberra both postponed marathons as well. Oh, actually going virtual. Not going to happen this year.
The November Canberra one.
Yeah, that was released during the week as well.
And the September, was it September still? Or did they move Sydney back as well, didn't they?
No, I think they moved Sydney back later.
Yeah, and now they cancelled today as well, though.
Yeah, and Sydney to Surf as well.
Yeah.
So this is the perfect opportunity for those athletic clubs to put on events.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, you go around, so you're down in Portland, you've got the Portland race that goes off, small little community event, but puts on a marathon. Then what is it? What's the other one? That Traralgon one?
Yep, Traralgon.
Yeah, it's like a lot of history there, and those guys, they're not. I mean, still Melbourne. I guess it's tricky at the moment, but they don't rely on big profits to make the run happen, and so they don't need 20,000 people to actually break even or anything. They're the sort of races that I think will get up and going a lot more quickly. And it'll be great for local athletics. It'll be great for like running clubs, like small running clubs and stuff, to, if they've got the time, effort and manpower to put them on.
Mm. See what happens in the next couple of weeks, months. Could be interesting. Moose on the loose. Actually, listen to question, Brad. Sorry. Skip that
all
bit.
Right. This week's listener question comes in from Richard. He says, Brad and James Barker touched on this in passing the other week. What do you guys make of the idea of psychological / emotional roots of pain or injury? The theory that repressed stress can show up as persistent pain, particularly relevant for runners who have explored every conventional medical avenue. All scans and doctors say all clear, but the trouble continues.
Oh, croaker.
Mm. Yeah. I put this in before he started talking about that stuff as well.
I don't know how to answer this.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I've also heard of people that have had like chronic pain that the physical conditions that are causing that pain may have subsided, but because you've been in so much pain for so long that you continue to feel it. Mm. And I guess that's what he's getting at, but I don't know how to answer the question.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty tricky question. Like, and I think this concept of pain and like the root causes of pain, what is pain? It's like, it is very complex, and I don't think we're really we can really chat about it too well. I know, like, I'm getting pain in my knee, and the scan said there was inflammation there of the tendon, so that's why I'm getting pain. But sometimes when I run, even today, my first run, in my head, I'm thinking, was that it? Did I feel it? Is that right? Oh, what was that little twinge? And then, like, I almost talked myself into the fact that I'm feeling some pain there. And I, like, when you're running so long without any injury or pain, I think it's quite easy to forget that stuff and to, like, feel a little something or other, but not let it play on your mind at all. And then you just run off and it's not even a thing. Whereas if you're coming from an injury-riddled few months and you feel something, all of a sudden it's on your mind and it's all you're thinking about. I know that's a thing.
Have you guys ever, I had a mate who was going through a bit of a stressful time in his life, changing jobs and stuff, and then all of a sudden he got a sore foot, and same thing, got scans, nothing on it, but they reckon it was because of the stress happening in his life.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah, definitely heard of, like, stress causes a lot of nerve-related injuries because the nervous system is just, like, constantly buzzing, which is not ideal then for when you're running. Actually, one of my old coaches, Daniel Green, he used to own Run For Your Life magazine. Anytime it would get close to, like, a magazine deadline or whatever, he'd get, like, super stressed, and he'd get a lot of, like, nerve related sort of calf injuries and that sort of thing. So I have heard of, stress causing injuries, like, due to the nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Don't know if we answered the question, Richard, but we had a bit of a chat about it. Thanks for sending it in. Moose on the loose.
It's not really a moose on the loose. I was cycling a bit this week too. Went out for a cycle on Friday with a few, with one fella. I'm only allowed to ride with one fella. So I went out for a ride with one fella, and he towed me up on the technical stuff, right? So he smashed me. I was working so hard. I just didn't have the skills on the mountain bike. But I got back, I looked at my heart rate. I had, like, the wrist account on. And I was like, what the fuck? It barely even got up. There's some, like, and then I looked from the other day when I went cycling, again, barely got up. So there's a real, like, difference in cycling to running. Have you guys ever noticed when you've cycled that it's nearly impossible to get your heart rate up to, like, threshold, even when you're going up a hill?
Oh, I literally haven't ridden a bike to try to get my heart rate up for years. Oh,
I find I can get my heart rate pretty high on the bike.
All right, I can't, like, and that's, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like that's probably why these guys in the tour can cycle for, like, 7 hours and then sprint at the end, because imagine running for 7 hours and trying to sprint at the end. Like, those guys on the bike, I'm riding along and I think I'm working pretty hard. I mean, I've only got one gear, I can't really coast too much, and my heart rate's like 115. But then I went for a run today and I was running slow as anything and my heart rate's like 145 and I can't keep it down.
But you're like you're a bigger, stronger guy. Do you have a pretty good cadence on the bike? Like, or do you sort of grind? Do you have a slow cadence?
Single speed. So yeah. Like on the flat, it turns over pretty quick.
So when I've always cycled, like, my cadence has always been pretty high, because the thing that I always struggle with cycling is that pain you get in your quads from cycling. The only time I ever experience that when I run is if I'm not running well or I'm running up a really, really steep hill. So it's a completely different burn that I get on the bike compared to running. And I hate that burn in my quads. So I try and basically spin the pedals faster because I work my engine more so than my quads, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's probably, you want to make your, a lot of people go out to enjoy their ride. I've been watching cyclists now when I drive past them and they're just cruising. And I reckon, like, when we go out, we just go out to try to smash ourselves.
And so many cyclists I'd see, like, riding, they're in, like, such a big gear and, like, really fighting with the bike as opposed to dropping it back a bit and actually spinning your legs a bit quicker.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it comes down to also what sort of person you are. Like, I think the bigger, stronger guys like the sort of slower cadence and, get that sort of power from their quads, whereas, I'd prefer just to spin.
Oh, this was another thing, right? This is another thing I was thinking about. And this is a real bit of a touchy one. But I've been debating whether to talk about it or not. But, you know, when we watch commentary on the tour, it reminded me last night, and they were talking, the commentators were talking about how the climbers were very thin builds and very light, whereas the sprinters were big, had a lot more muscle mass and were like bigger, stronger units. So do you find that unacceptable chat to be talking about an athlete's body composition?
Not in that regard. I don't.
No,
because
no,
at the end, because at the end of the day,
you're going here, though.
At the end of the day, Moose, that's comparing. If you compare a distance runner to a sprinter,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because the they're built differently,
the
right?
Body shapes are completely different, and those sprinters in the tour, although it's an aerobic sport, they're closer to sprinters in track and field than they are to distance runners in terms of their requirements.
Yeah, but you know, like your general consensus is when you're a sprinter, you're stronger, you're bigger, like you've got bigger muscle mass, and then as you get up towards
power athletes,
yeah, and then as you sort of go up in distance, you get like less muscular, I guess. Is that just a fair assessment of that?
Yeah, like that's a general term. Like obviously there's outliers, but you look at people on the start line of marathon, like, you'd probably be a bit of an outlier in a way.
But a shot putter needs to have a lot more mass to be able to generate more force to throw the shot put, correct?
Correct.
And a distance runner is more economical to not have as much mass as that shot putter.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be fully the lightest person, because lightest doesn't actually,
I get what you're like. I just feel like we're so politically correct now, we can't even comment on the like complexities of force and like the specifics of each event and why an athlete would be like this if they're not like someone like.
You probably need to share what you're talking about here.
Well, there was just a commentary like about, and it wasn't like, this is not the best example, but people like when we talk, when a commentator's commentating a race, referring to the athlete, their like body composition, I guess. And so there was an example of clearly, like to me, I was watching going, oh, these girls, they're probably 400 meter runners. They were trying to pace a 1500. They were bigger athletes, right? They were stronger athletes. They didn't quite look like the other 1500 meters runners in the race. They were out in front, like right out in front. So immediately my thought, maybe this is, whether this is right or wrong, was I'm like, oh, they look like 400 meter runners pacing the 800. That was my thought when I was watching, and the commentator was sort of said,
it was a 1500 too, I think, not an 8. Yeah.
Look, I don't even know the specifics, right?
What did the commentator say?
Have you seen this, Brad?
No.
Yeah. These girls, they're a lot bigger than the other runners. They've got a lot more muscle mass.
He made comment about, you can tell who the pacemakers are in this race and who the athletes are, or the athletes for that event, because of their body shapes.
Now, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. And in this particular instance, I don't think he addressed it very well. But then I looked at a lot of the comments on the commentary around this incident, saying in no way should an athlete's body size ever be referred to in the commentary of that event. And I was like, hold on a second, it's fucking relevant. Like, this is relevant scientific sort of commentary on that event. If we're talking about the tour, we're talking about the climbers being so much thinner and being leaner, not leaner, but thinner, weighing a lot less to go up a mountain more quickly. And we're talking about a sprinter having a lot bigger muscles to be able to generate more force to sprint away from the other athletes. This is a thing. This is science. Why do we have to ignore, like, why do we just not talk about science at all? It frustrated me that, like, there was no, like, we are so sensitive now that we can't even mention things that actually make a big difference within that sport.
Yeah, yeah. And so many times now you'll say something, not even thinking about it, but then somebody will pick you up on, you know, that you can't say that anymore. It's like, well, hang on a second. Actually, there's some, There's some article in the Canberra Times today about why the Canberra Raiders shouldn't be called the Raiders anymore, and why they should get rid of the Viking clap because of, you know, what the Vikings stand for. And like, it's just like, are you serious? Like, world's gone mad.
Yeah, and this is different to someone saying, like, I will clarify, different to someone saying, oh, this look at how fat that girl is when she's running. Like, this is totally different to that. That's different. It's different to being looking at a race and discussing the difference in how an athlete with more muscle mass might be able to generate more force, right? Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I butchered that or what.
I'm trying I'm looking at it because they've got a lot of, like, this cancel culture. You know, it's pretty strong, and it got a lot of attention online to cancel kind of the commentator straight up. And he did, I think what cooked him was he kind of laughed at one stage, like he made a really poor joke and then kind of laughed at it, which probably didn't make it any better. We'll get Rush to put in the show notes. Listeners can be their own judges. I am trying to look up exactly what events those two pace made. I think one of them was a Czech 100, 200, 400 as well. But yeah, I haven't looked into it that much.
The problem is as well, like, when you're talking about world-class athletes, like, their body types are often like the extremes of humanity. Like, I compare it to, like, you watch a game of rugby league, and the smallest guy on the field is like 86 kilos. And like, if I was on that field at 60, like, how ridiculous would I look? But, you know, like, distance runners and like hill climbers in the cycling, like, they're at the extreme of, you know, in terms of how lean they often are. And so when you put then a sprinter or a 400 meter runner in there, they're actually quite a normal body shape, but they look bigger because of how small the distance runners are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and a good comparison is like when we're talking about basketball. You've got guards that are faster, that can normally have better handling skills, that can get around the court better, right? And then you've got centers who are tall, who can dunk, who can block shots. It's their height that's the difference. So we have to talk about their height, right? Why would we ignore that fact that they're tall and they can do things the short players can't, and the short players can do things the tall players can't? Are we not allowed to talk? Like, at some point over the next few years, I'm sure people will get height sensitive and we're not allowed to talk about people's height anymore. Mm-hmm. It has to come.
Getting deep in anyway. 150 today, ladies and gents.
God. Now, bring on the angry crowd.
Collingwood's up by 6 points at halftime too,
Brady
boys.
Brady.Frowful@gmail.com. Send it to that. That's our work email.
That is my personal email. Thanks, Julian. anyway, before we get to what's coming up, boys, we got to thank New Balance, and we got to do a bit of a shoe review on their new shoe. I've got Fuel Cell Elite here, Moose, but I think I'm missing a word. Can you give me the correct?
Mate, this has been...
Brad got it wrong last week as well, and I actually do have my phone open, and I'm watching a video of you talk about them at the moment. Fuel Cell RC Racer Elite.
Yep, got it right.
You've got it in your hands in this video, Moose, and Brad, you've been testing it out in a few workouts. So between you two, I'm still waiting for mine to arrive in the postage. Things are going a bit slow up to Echuca Malama up here on the border. So I'll be firing a few questions at you fellas, and you tell me some information about them. Brad, first one. Oh, actually, Moose, let's go with specs. What do we need to know?
Oh, specs.
Give us weight, give us offset.
I just got this email with very detailed specs actually come through. So let me go to my detailed specs. Well, in terms of stack height, we're looking at 32 millimetres at the heel, 24 at the front. So it's an 8 mil drop. That's pretty high. The limit for the track is 25 mil, so you're 7 mil over that. It's 3 mil stack height less than the Saucony Endorphin Pro that we've also run in. So less cushioning in that regard. Underneath the forefoot, the outer sole they use helps to keep the weight down. They chop it into these tiny little lugs. They call it Dynaride. It's basically like a soft but very, very sticky outer sole. So that's one of the real highlights of this shoe. It's 198 grams for a men's size 9. Normally they go off a men's 9, so it's light. I feel like it's a lot more secure through the fit than the its partner, the TC, which fits a broader foot. So within the sort of New Balance sort of range, they call it Fuel Cell, which is like this this foam that New Balance uses. And there are like different tiers of Fuel Cell. So the density of the foams are different within the Fuel Cell range. Yeah. So the RC Elite,
it's softer.
It's softer, yeah. And it returns more energy. So the RC is listed as 60% in terms of energy return, and it's actually measured at 72% energy return. And their normal RevLite foam that they kind of used to use in their old racing flats, 39 to 45% energy return. So that's the difference that these new foams are giving us.
Interesting. Did you notice that, Brad, when you were pumping some 3-2-1 efforts in it?
Yeah, so the first thing that stood out for me was the cushion in the heel. And this is where sometimes the specs and the feel of a shoe, I think, like a bit misleading. So when I first put them on, if you didn't tell me those specs, Moose, I would have said that the stack height in this shoe was higher than the Endorphin Pro, just because of how I felt with the foam. It has like, it seemed to have a lot more, as you said, spring back than say the Endorphin Pro. And I know when we're talking about the Endorphin Pro, it was like, well, we're not sure how this is going to go after 30K at marathon pace. Whereas there's no doubt that the cushion in that shoe will get you through a marathon, no worries. And also in terms of the bounce that I got out of that shoe, when I warmed up on Friday for my tempo, I felt like I was like not in moon boots, but like just my cadence was like 174 running down to the lake, whereas I'm normally like 180 for like 412 kilometer pace. So, so the first thing for me was definitely the cushion in the heel, definitely more secure on the ground compared to your, Alpha Flies and your Next Percent.
Because not of as the much stack height, Brad, is that why?
Yeah. So obviously, definitely felt like there was less stack height than like the Next Percent. And so which meant then you feel like, you know, it's like when you put like the Next Percent on, you feel like quite unstable because you're a lot higher.
Yeah.
And like Moose said, I like the grip about it. It doesn't have quite as much rocker as some of the others. But in terms of a marathon shoe, the cushion that you get from that thing is incredible.
Geez, you got me excited, Brad.
But that's where, like, just the specs. Like, it's funny how the materials that they use in a shoe can sort of, like, not misguide you, but give you a different feel to what the specs actually say.
Yeah, well, and then because we're talking about sort of volume of cushioning there rather than the actual cushioning system itself and the feel of the foam. It is a bit deceptive. Like you can put some really like high density hard foam in a massively cushioned shoe. It's still going to feel kind of hard underfoot and firm, even though there's tons of foam. And then like, for instance, this RC, you can put less foam, but really spongy, soft foam, and it's going to feel really poppy. So It very much comes down to the foams that the companies are using, and it's back in the day, everyone just used the EVAs, and every brand would do something different, like put gel in the shoe or an air unit or like a wave plate or something to get their cushioning system. Now with these foams coming out, this is where the money's at. This is the magic, and everyone's getting creative with their foams, and the foam is now where you're drawing your energy from.
Moose, you guys are talking about how like poppy, kind of spongy returning it kind of is. Does Ellie wear it for reps on the track? I don't think
she did. Yeah.
And does she find it's okay or too like poppy for the track?
No, she likes it on the track, but she also has the 5280 and the New Balance. The first version of the Fuel Cell Rebel was really good track shoe. It's the one that we've both got.
Yeah.
And that was a great track shoe, but that sort of hasn't made it in the country this season. So she's been wearing the RC Elite on the track. because her other option, the TC, is a little bigger and heavier, probably not a great track shoe. So yeah, she's wearing that because it is still protective compared to a traditional racing flat. Mm. I mean, it's still got 8 mil drop, and look, 32 mil of foam through the heel, that's a lot of shoe. Mm.
Versatility for like what would be the shortest distance you could use it for, maybe a time trial, because there's no races around for us here in Australia at the moment. Like, can you go 3k up to the marathon in it? Or
yeah, you can go as low, you can go, I mean, she did 400 reps in it the other day, so you can go as low as you want, really. I mean, you're not, it's not going to be legal on the track because it's too high. But, yeah, but if you're
parkrun, like, people can get
parkrun, yeah. It's, look, I'm not sure. It, I think the shoe's durability and the cost, like, there could be better options out there for that runner who is sort of trying to break 25 minutes or so. I think maybe they'd find more value in a shoe like the TC that's more stable. It's got a higher heel to toe offset. It's a more durable outer sole. The cushioning system lasts longer because it's a different density, although it's still fuel cell. I just sort of had this email come through that's told me that there are different sort of densities of the foam, so it's going to last longer, it's going to be more durable, and it's going to be more stable for them. So it's still a fast shoe and it's an efficient shoe.
Just watching this video of you now, Moose, cosmetically bright green, bit of black on there, looks good.
Yeah, I saw the photos come through of this early and I'm like, that's fucking cheap looking expensive shoe. But then once you get it in person, it really grew on me, this green, it's like old school race flat color. And even the mesh on, like the mesh on the shoe, kind of reminds me of old school race flats. It's just super simple design.
Those lines, does it say, did that turn into NB? Yeah, it does. I'm just trying to watch this video now, but you keep moving it around on me. You know what I'm talking about? The, like the artwork on the toe?
Oh, God. I don't have it in front of me anymore. I'm looking now. Oh, yeah, that's an NB. Yeah. You can't see that?
You've got the videos kind of off to the side here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well,
and the lines turn into the NB. I just had to fast forward a bit.
Yeah, the N is like wings.
Yeah.
And then the B is a B.
And then New Balance on the inside in a bit of black and white.
You can sort of see like how it's got a carbon plate. We should mention that. Like it's everything has a carbon plate. This carbon plate has is used more for reducing. conserving the use of the calf. So I'm trying to unload calf during the toe-off phase, I guess, more than sort of propelling you forward or energy return. That's how New Balance have sort of used this plate in their shoe, according to their tech guys.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Yep, there's a video all about this on the Running Company Ballarat Instagram page if you want to watch it.
Mm.
Watch that, Brad. Moose has got his glasses on, Pascal T-shirt, cargo pants.
Did you watch it this afternoon? Yeah.
Oh, mate, I just got back from the beach.
Brooklyn Nets hat on.
Just chucked on what was upstairs, looking real good.
That's how I first found out about all the specs and how it was different to the Endorphin Pro, which sort of surprised me based on the feel. But
what do you think the grip's like? Because that's a real highlight for me with this shoe.
Yeah, definitely when it comes to wet, like I'm trying to think what shoe it was. I reckon ASICS used to use similar stuff back in the day on some of their like DS trainer on the front part.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Now, look, that was plasticky though.
Nike Streak as well. It used to have that as well.
Like a waffle almost. But this, that DS trainer was like plasticky material. This is super sticky rubber.
Yeah, and that's probably been one of the downfalls of the other brands is in the wet, they haven't been like amazing. Whereas, that'll handle the wet for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me excited, fellas. Thanks to New Balance Australia, sponsoring this week's show. And, giving us one of those ones to test out. Looking forward to getting in it. What's coming up, boys? Brad, what's happening in your life between now and next week?
Oh, I reckon I might watch a few episodes of. You guys watched Cobra Kai on Netflix?
No, I've heard about it though. People talking about it.
You guys are Karate Kid fans growing up, or you're too young?
Too young for that, mate.
I watched Karate Kid, of course. Karate Kid.
Well, it's Daniel and Johnny Lawrence as old guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, they're the same actors?
Yep, same actors. They're like 20 to 30 minute episodes. Daniel LaRusso owns a car yard, and Johnny Lawrence is a bit of a down and outer. So
they still hate each other.
I only started watching it today, so I've watched like three episodes.
Big Mando for you.
Friends or hating?
No, they still don't really like each other.
Good.
Yeah. And getting back to the female that hurled both, I think it's going to be Kate Anderson, because her 5 and 1500 PBs came in 96 and 97. And she ran like 1510 and 1407. Oh, sorry, 407. So I reckon it'll be her.
Good research, Brad. Moose, what are you doing between now and next week?
Well, I'm back running this week, apparently.
How many K will you do?
The plan was to sort of run two days, have a day off, run 2 days, have a day off. But now, after tonight's run, I go back to run every second day for 20 minutes only.
Very good. Righto, fellas, we're done.
And you, Brady?
I've got 2 days left of work, Brad, and then on school holidays. So just training, doing a bit of speed work.
When's Hudson's birthday? Yeah, it must be soon.
24th of September. So that's why we're hanging out for this regional travel to be allowed. So my parents can come up from Bendigo and aunties and uncles and things like that, so we can actually have a first birthday for him.
Yeah, we got Lily's second this weekend.
That's right, yep. So, yeah, we're maybe doing some first. Do you want to come, Moose? I know how much you love babies and first birthdays. I'll invite you if regional travel opens up.
And a sugar.
Yeah, and sugar. You'd get belted in town, I reckon. That many people don't like you in this town.
Pussies up. Have you ever seen me street fight?
I'd just ease off the comments about a chuka because so many people up here buy shoes off you, I reckon.
Oh, no, it's a gag, mate. I love a chuka. I love Moama more, actually.
Moama and a chuka. Archie moved to Moama, I'll tell you that.
New South Wales
resident now. Renting out the Airbnb to him because no one was booking it. So I thought, hang on, I could make some money off this. Archie, you want to move out from your parents? Bang, in he moves.
Oh, he'd be cleaning up a chuka Moama.
Oh, I think he's been going very good lately. Just, Instagram game's been strong.
After that video came out,
he did message me saying, yeah, you're right, half tights are good for female fans on Instagram or something. I was like, mate, I was just joking on the podcast. That didn't work for me at all. And then he asked if he could have the rest of the week off training. And I was like, okay, I see what's happening here. Anyway, we're done, boys. See you next week, eh?
See you guys. Have a good week.
Thank you again to this week's episode sponsor, New Balance. Made with an obsession for speed, the fuel cell offers the highest energy return of any New Balance performance foam today. Access fast with the Fuel Cell RC Elite, available at selected running specialty stores and newbalance.com.au. The world.